Welcome to the Mind Cemetery, where the paranoia about the paranormal comes to rest every Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern, right here, exclusively on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. Heard around the world online at uprntalkradio.com, on FM 107.7 New Orleans, as well as 105.9 in Pass Christian, Mississippi. As always, we will do our best to delve into the unexplained, weird, and sometimes creepy topics you won't hear in your local news. Like what you hear on the show? Then like the Mind Cemetery Facebook page and follow at Mind Cemetery on Twitter. If you want to check out the show on your time, download the Mind Cemetery off iTunes and at soundcloud.com/UPRN. For all of the UFO Paranormal Radio Network's shows, visit mindcemetery.net for info on upcoming guests, weird news, award-winning blogs, show archives, and of course, the ever-present UFO Stalker. Join the discussion live in the UFO Paranormal Radio Network chat room on Pal Talk or call into the show at 1-504-273-7379. And welcome back to the Mind Cemetery this week, August 31st, the last day of August. The day before the September call-ups, as they say in baseball land, I guess it's called, right? In the baseball world, which, you know, I'm a fan of the game. And it makes it easier when your team's doing well. So Cubs are doing well. There's an embarrassment of riches of talent. And hopefully everybody didn't turn the dial because I was talking sports for 2 seconds. Anyway, we'll get back to it here. Thanks for coming this week. Check me out on Twitter, at Mind Cemetery. Check me out on Facebook, Mind Cemetery, easy to find. The Google machine works very well for that as also. Let's see, this week's events and happenings that were going on, you might have seen a couple things that I had talked about here recently on the Mind Cemetery Facebook page and on Twitter when I saw it come across the feed, as they call it, right, in social media land. So Art Bell, who, as we know, is doing his third comeback tour, and this time going it alone and wanting to be on terrestrial stations and not internet radio stations and all that good stuff. He's starting from the bottom again, but he is definitely not starting with the same attitude as he was earlier. You know, he definitely is off his game. He's definitely into a lot more pandering that's going on. He's definitely into upselling. God knows you need to be a time traveler or a midnight traveler or a midnight toker or whatever the hell he calls it. For a couple extra bucks, you can get access to all his archives. I don't ever play that game of paying for content. I don't make you guys pay for that either. And the network doesn't make you do that. It's Joe Montaldo there, uprntalkradio.com. You know, you get free content because essentially that's what it should be. Let's put it that way. He had on Peter Robbins to discuss, as you can assume, the Rendlesham case. And I saw that on Facebook during the promotion of that appearance that he had. I think it was Wednesday or Thursday last week. I can't remember. It was one of those nights because I know I was into listening. Because usually I'm not up for listening to other shows. A majority of the time. I mean, I'll listen every once in a while if something raises my eyebrow and piques my interest a little. And, you know, if somebody puts some good hype behind something every once in a while, I'll fall for it too. And I'll check it out. And maybe in a few minutes I'll say the hell with this. And maybe in a few minutes I'll still be here listening, kind of thing. So either way, it didn't cost nothing, right? So he had Peter on to talk about the Rendlesham case, but it was promoted on Facebook as Peter having new information about the case and things that Charles Holt had been saying about Larry Warren and his book Left at Eastgate, as we all know. And we all know that Charles Holt has gone out of his way for a very long time to completely lie every chance he gets about Left at Eastgate and bag on Larry and Peter and everybody like that. When, you know, I've made it no real secret that I'm a big fan of Peter Robbins. When it comes to, I'm not saying he doesn't have fleas, okay? When it comes to ufologists and when it comes to journalists and authors and things of that nature, I think Peter Robbins truly is above the rest. And like I said, that doesn't mean I think he's perfect. Okay, I know where the fleas are. I've heard the cringeworthy statements as well about, you know, I go to Mexico too for that paycheck, or, you know, something along those lines of, you know, I got to pay the bills and that kind of. I've heard those things, you know, and it made me cringe too and say, oh, damn it, why did I have to hear that? Or vice versa, why did that have to be said out loud? You know, because you really don't need to do that kind of thing, in my opinion. You don't really need to let people know, you know, that you jigged your own up. Let's put it that way, if that makes any sense. But he was on Art Bell for 2 hours, did the first hour talking about Rendlesham case, because evidently, and this is something that annoyed me while I listened to that interview with Peter, is that there are a lot of folks that aren't familiar with the Rendlesham case, the RFA Bentwaters and all that, RAF Bentwaters. And that really annoyed me, because I thought this is a, and Peter echoed that on his show, called it a 101 level type case. And it is. It really is. Like, if you're interested in UFOs or aliens and abductions, you need to know some things. I would say, you know, first off, go ahead and get yourself familiar with, right, you know, your Travis Walton, your Whitley Strieber, for all the fleas he has, it's worth at least checking out. Roswell, the Betty and Barney Hill case, you know, maybe, let's see, and Rendlesham, and what are the other ones? And those are like the big cases that I expect, you know, anybody with a clue and a functioning brain that's interested in the subject to verse themselves with, you know, be familiar with, and know as much as you can about them, and know as many sides as you can, because that's also your responsibility when you go in to look at these things. Like I said, when you want to go find out about the Travis Walton story, don't tell me everything you learned from Fire in the Sky. All right, I don't want to hear it, because that was a Hollywood movie, and not a lot of that was legit in there. You know, it was cherry-picked. And for the record, yes, I did go see that movie in the movie theater when it came out. I think it came, and I remember it because it came out at the same time as Backdraft did, and I wanted to see Fire in the Sky instead of Backdraft. So that was a possibly a miserable decision in movies at the time, but I was just a kid at the time, so I took alien movie over firefighting movie with a Baldwin brother. So maybe it's not that bad of a choice after all at that age. So it could go either way real quick. But Peter mentioned that that was a 100 level case, and when people were asking questions about it, that's when the Twitterverse exploded, and I'm sure Facebook did too. I didn't jump into it. I'm sure there were plenty of Facebook pages of Art Bell fan listening pages and whatnot, but they started saying, you know, I don't know the case, why isn't he explaining the case kind of stuff, this guest stinks, he's boring. And then he got into, and then Peter further got into why he came, you know, the new developments, which were, you know, Charles Hult lies some more about Larry and Peter and the book Left at East Gate. And he starts pointing out, like Peter does, and this is the thing with Peter, is that he truly is very detail-oriented. And I know there's a lot of folks out there and that say they are, one of which being Richard Dolan, and that's his buddy. And you know, they're friends, and everybody knows that. I'm not razzle-dazzled by Richard Dolan by any means, of course. You all know that. But it seems like he's taking some cues from the Peter bag. I don't know if that's a thing, but yeah, I guess I did just say it. He's taking a few tricks from Peter's bag and, you know, repeating the mantra over and over to slowly indoctrinate his listeners to think, okay, well, when I think Richard Dolan, what do I think? Meticulously detailed research is what I think. And every time you say he says detailed analysis, you can go ahead and take a drink of whatever the hell it is you're drinking, because you're going to need it to get through the conversation, because he may put you to sleep. So Peter goes into the story about his Halt's lying, and then Art Bell turns it into a big fat... a big fat festival of, well, I don't want you here bashing Halt. He's not here to defend himself. And Peter reminded him, much like I think a couple callers that got through did, saying, no, you don't understand. Again, this is the part that pisses me off. With how does Art Bell not know that Peter Robbins and Charles Halt don't get along? How does he not know that they will not be at the same place, same time, or debate each other without some severe caveats included? You know, like, you know, I want to pick the moderator and all that kind of stuff. You know, everybody's going to jockey for an advantage, of course, which I fully expect, right, everyone to do. But no, without all those things, he's not showing up. I was like, what part of that don't you get, you know? He's never going to appear on the same stage. He's never going to have a conversation with him, because he's hell-bent on saying just anything he can to make him look like trash. And Peter is into doing actually his research and retorting every stupid thing that Halt says. It makes Peter look like kind of, you know, a nut job for even caring to that point to even rebut him. To the extent that he does, like, he's talking about putting out, you know, a paper. Last time he did, he put out like a 10-page paper talking about all the stupid things that Nick Pope and Peniston and Halt have been doing and saying and all that kind of stuff, or ripped them off from their book and didn't credit them, you know, and now he's talking about a book he wants to put out in a couple weeks, or, you know, longer than that much of a rebuttal. So, I mean, that's where Peter loses the audience, I think, because it bores people, because it's all, you know, it's all background noise to them, to the case. And that's what upset Art, or at least he echoed his fans' sentiments. And he kind of egged them on by being short with Peter and treating him like garbage, in my opinion. I was pissed off for Peter. I was like, I can't believe you're even sitting on the phone still with this jerk off. The way he's treating you, the way he's minimalizing what Peter has to say, you know, in his rebuts about Halt's accusations and his lies that he's telling. And what Art didn't understand was that in the UFO world and genre and all that kind of garbage that I put it under the umbrella, the only thing you have is your credibility. That's it. That's the only thing that separates you from a Jaime Maussan, you know? That's it. That's it. Your credibility is the only thing that separates you from a Stan Romanek, for God's sakes. So to really play dumb in that conversation between Peter Robbins and Art Bell as to why it's important and try to play it off like it's all just drama, like they're schoolgirls, is really facetious, because it ties in with our guest here in a few minutes, and I know I've talked a lot about this subject, but I'm going to bring him in, and it ties into Cal Korf, and I have Cal Israel coming on, and I'll introduce him soon, but it ties into Cal Korf, and it all ties into tonight's episode here later on, because when Cal Korf was busy telling lies about Art Bell, it was a completely different story. There was no one there to tell him, oh, you're just being, you know, a drama queen, essentially. No, he took that very seriously. Art Bell threatened to sue Cal Korf for his straight-up lies, and I forget what those were, and I'm sure Cal Israel later on can help me out and jog my memory on what he was saying about Art Bell. But and he said things about a lot of other people, Don Ecker for one, and he got into it with Biedny, and you know he's got into it with everybody because he's nothing but a bunch of lies. So sorry, I'm reading in the chat room here. Yes, Art Bell had some lies told about him by Cal Korf. He threatened legal action to sue Cal Korf. Cal Korf was invited on his show to publicly apologize, and he did to him. This was many years ago when Art was still on regular Coast to Coast. So if that gives you any kind of frame of reference, you know, this goes way back. Right. So he made Cal apologize, and he understood what happens when you destroy someone's credibility and their name with lies, and he held Cal accountable. But when it happened to Peter, and it happened, and it was Larry, and it was Holt, and it was over there in Rendlesham, and it had nothing to do with him, then it was just drama. So that really pissed me off how he tried to play that off. On somebody else, like I was like, you know what, you trotted out a dude and rubbed his nose in shit, literally, that night, making him apologize. So, Art Bell is very credible, in my opinion, in the chat room. Okay, well, I understand that, and it's like I said, I found a lot of people that I thought were credible, and I've thrown a lot of those folks to the wayside after years, of actually paying attention to what they say and keeping track of things that they say and watching for the contradictions and just more or less learning in my life and in my professional career, not so much what people say, just watch what they do kind of thing. And from what I've seen with Art, he's just, been someone that has always craved the limelight, craved the attention that he got. And you're right on, Instant Karma. He is a showman. It's show business. Boom. They're there to push a product, and when you're a host and you have a show, the product is you and all that kind of stuff. So, Art Bell really did have beef with Sirius XM Radio and how they treated him, because I think he wanted to be able to be able to stream his show online, and they gave him hell over that. So he said, "See ya." Yeah, I believe that's what that is. No, I don't think Coast to Coast is well. Yeah, I think you could safely say that Coast to Coast is jealous of Art Bell, because you hear a lot of things in the background that George Norrie has actively done, like tell guests you can't be on my show within a certain time period of being on his show or at all. And yeah, so Art Bell isn't the happy-go-lucky, fun-time grandpa that he plays it off that he is. There's a lot of production to go behind that product. Let's put it that way, if you can call it that. So yeah, that's my Larry Warren, Peter Robbins, Art Bell little diatribe there that I got into this week that I saw that really pissed me off, for lack of a better word, when I heard it going on. And I did try to call in, and I couldn't get through and all that kind of stuff. So to help Peter out there, because he was getting ganged up on by a lot of dopes who didn't know the case. 101 level dopes is what I'd consider them, And if you can't go out there as a listener, if you can't, and you don't have time, like I said, it takes a long time to really learn about all these cases because you feel like you have to ingest it all at once. No, pick one. Pick a corner to start in and expand from there. That's all you got to do. And ba-boom, 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 you learn faster and faster exponentially from there, from case to case to case, and away you go. And you'll be a better consumer of various products out there in the world in the form of radio shows. And people, I guess, right? Because they're the people, the guests make the show go around for a lot of these folks. They're the one that drives the listeners to them. And that's a model a lot of people use. So enough of that. The other thing that I had from Mind Cemetery happened on the, if you're a Bigfoot fan, and not a complete nut job, well, then thank you very much for not being completely out of your mind and being a halfway decent human being. Team Squatchin' USA Facebook page, there was a Kevin Wohler that was up in there, you know, posting some things about Obama. I found Bigfoot, married her. And he says, well, that's not offensive. And then some other hillbillies with Confederate flags come out and say, that's part of my heritage and that's history and you need to educate yourself and all this kind of stuff. And really, it's just excuses on how to be a racist and why you should tolerate me being a racist and all that kind of stuff. So I took pictures of it. You know, this guy, I don't know why anybody would join Team Squatchin' USA. I've seen a ton of people in the past, and I've said a ton of times in the past that Bigfoot pages and people are some of the worst that I've found. I found a handful that are good people, you know, that I've had on here that don't get involved with all this stupidity and the right-wing diatribes and the I hate, you know, blame, thanks Obama business and, you know, trying to tell me that a picture, a meme with Obama saying found Bigfoot, married her, and a picture of Obama isn't offensive or racist or anything like that is hilarious because you're comparing the woman to, say it with me, folks, an ape-like creature. So, yeah, little racist. I know you're trying to be cute and funny and get away with being racist without, you know, overtly saying things and, you know, you want to talk about the Confederate flag. Well, this is actually a Virginia battle flag and all this. So, oh, well, that's much better. Yeah, take that story and jam it in your rear end and go ahead and walk the hell away from me because I don't want to hear it. Ain't nobody got time for that. I'm going to go get me a cold pop, you know. So, yeah. Yeah. So it's an interesting trip out there, and I made sure that running into this turd and some of his friends out there that this Kevin Wohler from Team Squatchin' USA would definitely get the attention he wanted that day, and I would give him that for a few minutes. There was one picture, though, that I screenshotted that had Obama giving oral to a horse, let's put it that way. So that wasn't offensive either, evidently, in his mind. So I don't know where these people live or what planet they're from, but yeah. Team Squatchin' USA, get away from that dump hole of right-wing stupidity as fast as you can. Lastly, Zach Baggins. I know you remember him, right? He does the Ghost Adventurer stuff. He's the guy with the hair products and the tight shirts and the yelling at ghosts and stuff like that. You know, smart things you should do, even if the things exist. I mean, come on. What are you doing here? Little provocation never hurt anybody. He bought a house in Gary, Indiana here, but now he's bought Dr. Kevorkian's Deathmobile. And coincidentally, the Deathmobile is a 1968 VW microbus. So, you know, at least the Deathmobile came correctly. You know, it was kind of happy when it got there. But my thing was, he bought it off of Les Gold in Detroit from the Hardcore Pawn TV show. He heard he had that, so he bought it up for $32,000, this rusted out VU bus. So that's awesome. I just said, well, don't check the haunted glove compartment because we wouldn't want anything bad to have it. Maybe John Zaffis can get a hold of this bus and put it in a special room so it doesn't haunt anybody. And unfortunately, here we have Wes Craven, director of Nightmare on Elm Street series, dead at age 76. So, not Last House on the Left, The Hills Have Eyes, Swamp Thing. Oh, that's not bad. A lot of classics right there. I mean, come on. If you were into, you know, movies in the 80s and all that, those were staples for you. So, yeah, a man who influenced horror for a generation has passed. 76, Seems about right, about the time to go, I guess, right? It's not 80. 80 to me is old. You know, 76 is getting there, so yeah, okay. Yeah, you were there. All right, so. Last but not least, Lee Spiegel, you know, the esteemed Huffington Post UFO writer, wrote up a story about a UFO following Obama's helicopter, or not Obama's, Trump's helicopter. I know it's easy to get the two confused, but yeah, a Trump helicopter. He wrote a story about that. And of course, MUFON was involved. And there was a mutual fellatio moment for MUFON and Lee Spiegel and Open Minds TV. And I bet Alejandro's quoted in here. Let's see real quick. I'll do the Did we fake a moon landing? What really happened in Roswell? Obama asked, trying to complete conspiracy series. Oh, boy. His supposed Kenyan birth with alleged UFO cover. Unbelievable. Obama, oh, please be tied. No, Jimmy, John Podesta. Oh, God, I fluffed it up with the John Podesta commentary. Ugh, stupid. Lee Spiegel. Unbelievable. Unbelievable what passes for journalism in this racket. That's for damn sure. So, without further ado, we will bring in our guest, Cal Israel. I'm sorry for keeping you on hold there for so long. I had done a little house cleaning there about the rants and ravings of my own inner workings this week, I guess, for lack of a better word. So, thanks for coming on. I was a little surprised that I heard from you at all about it, because I didn't really get as much attention from it or people commenting about it as I thought there would. I thought there would be like a massive pissed off segment of my listenership, from even interviewing a guy. So it was definitely a little test of the water right there to see what they'd let me get away with it. But you held my feet to the fire, so I figured the best thing I could do is just go ahead and have you on, and we can just talk on here. I don't know if you've ever done any interviews in the past before on podcasts or anything like that.
Yeah, I've done a couple in the past.
Right.
You really didn't hear too much, I don't think, because, of course, been off the radar since the 90s and,
right,
lived in the CZ and now lives in India. So,
right.
So nobody really cares. And the only reason we keep after him that we can go over is some of the cruelty that he's done to some people. And to be completely honest with you, that's one of the reasons why some of the people are into it. And another one is also entertainment.
Right.
Because to see somebody behave the way he behaves is entertaining.
You're right about that. It is awe-inspiring as to how, he's kind of, where do you start with him, right? My thing with him is, it's like you said, he was huge in the 90s. He was all over, like, CNN. You know, he was on the panel shows with Larry King, right? He was on with him. He convinced him. And, he was the big gun for a while. And then finally he got into it with Eckerd. And he got into it with Art Bell. And everybody started, turning on him because he was attacking, people with straight-up lies and stupidness. And his move overseas, I believe, was to escape any kind of lawsuits. And I had even heard that it's to the point where if anybody knows he steps foot in American soil, he could be served. I don't know if that's still true.
Yeah, I'm not actually, I don't really know all that. I know in 97 when the Art Bell thing went down that he was already making claims and threatening to sue Hieronymus Bigfoot guys and such. And in 1999, 2000, that's when he took off to the CZ. His family has ties in the CZ. Nice place to live. You can live there cheap. They don't check your immigration status, so you can that's not a problem. And
nice refugee kind of country.
Yeah. It's it's clean, nice food, nice people, beautiful women. I mean, there's a lot of good reasons to live there. we think why he left there was because he was doing odd things publicly, like going into the Pakistan-Afghani border with homemade nano dust to track terrorists, and he was posting this stuff on YouTube.
Right.
So this loose group of people that we call the Corfing Syndicate, some guys are over there in the CZ, and basically they started to turn him in to those countries and tell him, hey, do you really want a guy posting stuff on YouTube about him on your border doing these things, or even if he isn't doing these things? And shortly after that, he moved to India and married a princess in India and started writing, you know, articles for some English language newspaper there, which of course they're very popular because that's you know, you call for phone help, you get India. They need to know their English quite well.
Right.
Yeah.
A nice market for that kind of drivel, basically. Homemade nano dust, he says.
Yeah.
And he's taking it to the border of Pakistan.
Yes, and throws it into the ground so it attaches itself on their boots and he can track them, evidently.
That's an impressive feat right there, a homemade nano dust.
Yeah. I one thing you said that made a lot of sense was in the subject of UFOs, paranormal and such, you can get overwhelmed. And when somebody says it would win in a court of law, you're correct. That's the wrong path to go down. If you look at it as a whole, you get overwhelmed. But if you pick the Meyer case or core for something, and you really delve in and you go meet people and you really do research on one good case, Bentwaters or whatever, that process, like learning an instrument or any kind of education, is the correct way. So you don't get wrapped up into Hoagland's and all this other stuff that muddies the water. So much like with Korf, what we did is because he did some things to people that just weren't right, we decided as a group, let's archive this material on UFOWatchCat.com and the YouTube channel associated with it. Let's archive this stuff so at the very least, he who wants to use the internet to make a name for himself, if they go down the wrong path, they will then have to live with a soured internet footprint for the rest of their life based on their behavior. So we decided that initially you wrote two books, not 30 or 50. His other claims, you wrote two books. You did some okay work on at least Myers. Roswell, I'm no expert on that. I hear it's a cut and paste book, but regardless, he did put out two books and a pamphlet in high school on Meyer and some JFK work.
He mentioned that the pamphlet and the paper from high school in there, and I was like, you know, I wrote a paper in high school too, but I don't really go out of my way to tell people. I don't add that to the credits, you know.
Right. His a lot of his current makeup is clearly tied to his life in high school, where he did have some limited fame and was asked to talk, and you know knew a bunch of the big names in ufology, and
it sounded like basically your average high school gifted and talented adventure.
He
do some special things every once in a while because you're smart.
He's not a dummy. He did distinguish himself. The issue is once you get older and maybe you run out of ideas for books and things, and then the internet gives you the platform, you start to use that initial fame and that initial interest, and you start saying things like, well, you know, In high school, I did this report on JFK, and then you add a bunch of stuff to that that's fraudulent. And in high school, I did UFO stuff, and you add a bunch of stuff that's fraudulent, up to the point where you're a 51, 52-year-old guy, and you are doing some things. We monitor him quite closely. You're doing some things, but it's never good enough to be honest about what you're doing. You always have to blow it up into something bigger, something more important. So if you have a kid, it's a genius kid. If you've got a job, it's not just a job doing free articles for a media giant nobody's heard of in India. It's you're like the intelligence supervisor for the whole thing, and he just blows it up and blows it up and blows it up. But the reason why a lot of these guys got into it is for things like this that there's no excuse for. And again, just type in things like Kalkorf thief, Kalkorf stolen valor, Kalkorf coward. Just type that kind of stuff in. And in fact, type in Kalkorf and go to images and things, and you will see his internet shadow and what his behavior has turned it into. But if you type in Kalkorf humanitarian, you find that in the CZ, this guy who does a lot of, I won't name him, they can find it out. He does a lot of good work for people who are in need. He kind of hires Korf in a way to help teach English. Korf changes it around to, I'm the CIO, CTO, whatever, of this guy's company, and he goes into Cables and Sims, which is a fake Apple store because they don't have them there.
Right.
He gets a bunch
of, like,
a
knockoff.
Right. Yeah. He gets a bunch of hardware and says, send this to the humanitarian. He'll take care of it. And he basically rips the guy off.
Right. So he bought a bunch of gear under this organization's name and said, send the bill to them.
Right. And then you have issues of, we've all seen his photos in the camo with the interesting logos, the mixed logos of Colonel and Sergeant Major and all this. And, you know, that stolen valor. He will tell you it's not, but that is clearly stolen valor. He'll tell you, I'm sure he said this on your show, public record. Public record, public record. He's real big on public record. The issue is the public record is his books and his articles that he wrote in the CZ and that he writes in India. Not so much there because he doesn't want to get kicked out, but that's the public record. When we ask him, do you have any links? Can you point to any other media that talked about you being in the special activities, planning, strategies, tactical operations, execution?
Right.
Execution, the SAPS-TO, except what you put in the throwaway subway green sheet thing in the CZ. Of course, he won't answer it because there is none. There's nowhere else to look except his public knowledge that he put out there when he makes the claim that he was in the O.J. Simpson case. Well, gee,
yikes.
He says he's in that. And then I don't think he understands that with the internet, we can contact Daniel Petrocelli. We can contact him and ask him, and we say, hey, you know, I know you're busy, but have you heard of a guy named Cal K. Korf? I mean, for Christ's sakes, you're not going to forget a name like that. And he writes back, I'm not familiar with that person. Well, that's all you need to know. Nobody forgets Cal K. Korf. They may say, wait a minute, I've heard that name.
Right.
And they may not associate it with his lunatic behavior, but... And again, the reason we got into it was, you know, a fewfold. One is because he's a bully. He's bullied people on the web. He's made 30 threats of suing and claims for money and just all this stuff. He's a thief. At least in one case, we've proven that he's a thief.
Yep.
And as we were watching the videos in 2010, he quit putting out the videos because we started grabbing them and re-editing them, right? So now he knows if I do any of this, these guys are going to grab this stuff, so the gig is up.
Right.
That was the fun. Yeah.
When I contacted him, and you made a good point, when I went to contact him and how he stopped posting on there is the point you were making, and and I was like, man, what happened? Because you were right, Cal Korf is a name you don't forget, and I'm like, what happened to that guy that Paul Kimball and Neckert and everybody was upset with? And I'm like, oh yeah, and I'm like, you know, I don't see him anywhere anymore, and I'm looking on YouTube, I'm like, yeah, it's been years since he posts anything. And then I found you guys, you know, the Cal Israel on YouTube, Cal Korf is an idiot blog. Right. The Free Curtis page, you know, those are all great places to go with a ton of documentation about every damn thing that's being said tonight. So we'll kick out those websites for sure in the second hour a couple more times for everybody so they can look themselves in case they have forgotten, you know, the absolute clown show that it is.
Right.
I was like, I don't even think this guy does interviews anymore, and then I was like, he's in Europe. And then when I finally emailed him, and I had to friend him on Facebook to message him on Facebook then, and he responded then, I was like, holy shit. I was like, this is him, you know. I was like, have you ever seen the documentary Winnebago Man?
Oh yeah, yep.
It's like I found Jack Rebney, you know, is how I felt, you know.
Yep.
I was like, holy crap. And I had him on, and he said, yes, I'd come on. And, you know, he's like, do you want any topics? You know, he's like, nothing's off the table and all this stuff, you know? And I was like, whoa, you know, this is, you know, completely different from, I'm like, really? I'm like, off the table. Okay. I was like, whatever. I was like, you know, whatever you are working on now, of course, we'll talk about, which is like some 50 part book series on Hillary Clinton or something like that, I'm sure.
Right.
Which, you know, is right around the corner from being published every week. That is so far from what I've seen. You know, and he's like, yeah, you know, I was like, talk about that and, you know, whatever the hell you want to talk about. Let's just, you start where the hell you want to go. You know, this is a choose your own adventure, you know, and let him talk his way into it. But yeah, he went, I didn't get to ask about the GeForce 5000 Secret Service that he, you know, started and all. He just weird, you know, just that weird, you know, like you said, the Stolen Valor part where we're in camo and berets and. Speaking of, and I saw one YouTube video where he got his hair cut.
Yes.
that's why are you filming your interactions? And he was like standing next to guards outside of an embassy or something, probably. And
yes.
It was while he was in Europe. Mm-hmm. And they were like, get the hell out of here after a while to him. So that was funny, you know, running him off. And then he decides to go get a haircut after his, you know, operation to infiltrate some, you know, super secret lab or something stupid, you know, failed. Hey, I'll just go get a haircut.
Right. Here's the story about that. He goes and he gets a haircut so he can go undercover in Hamburg, Germany, to go raid a Mossad house. Okay.
Right.
And he says, this is August 2006. I mean, you're right when you need to get focused on certain things. Granted, with the things going on, in, especially in America with the cop that just got assassinated and things. I mean, granted, this is very small potatoes, and this should only take up a small amount of a person's time. Okay. But at least it shows people, if you're going to act this way and steal valor and stuff, there are people out there who will not stop to put you down. There are people who will put you down, and this was
right.
A case of that. So in August in 2006, he claimed that he went to raid a Mossad house in Hamburg, Germany, and he claimed he went with somebody named Dorothy Toone, T-O-O-N-E.
Hmm.
Dorothy Toone is his mother.
Oh, good Lord.
So he had to shave his head to go undercover, blah, 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 blah. So it gets deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And,
wow, I had not heard that one. hey, it's a family affair now with old Dorothy Toon in there.
Yeah, yeah. It goes deeper and deeper and deeper. He says, on several occasions after I sold the Syrians bogus plans for a bomb, there were attempts on my life. That's the reason I left California permanently and resettled in Washington to work at Boeing. Now, look. He lived in California. God. He lived in Fremont and other places. He did work at Boeing. We really can't find out because they're really it doesn't matter if he was a janitor. They're really not going to give you much information. That's law, right? So, right. Yes, there is truth there. But he'll have you believe that there was attempts on his life. And once a machine gun was pointed at him and it jammed and he was able to run away without taking a hit.
Saved by the bell, right?
Right, right. He'll say stuff like, I also delivered weapons years ago to someone named Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North. Go ask Mr. Roy Neal if you don't believe me. He was an eyewitness to the book that I got that was personally signed. Now, did he get a signed book from Ollie? Sure. A lot of people have. But yeah. But did he deliver weapons to him?
Like everybody else.
I don't think he delivered weapons to him, and of course he can't prove it. And that's the type of person that we're dealing with here. So when you had him on, I was amazed too, because he knows whatever he does, we're going to respond. Whatever he does.
Okay.
So
he's aware. Okay, hang on a second.
Sure.
We're up at the top of the hour. I'm sorry. But you know, him selling plans to a bomb kind of sounds like an Emmett Brown Back to the Future kind of storyline to me, too. So he's not really too imaginative with that. But great, Scott, we've got to take a break here. And Taliban Joe, take it away. You're listening to the Mind Cemetery. We have Cal Israel on tonight talking Cal Korf Lies. He is from Cal Korf is an Idiot blog, Cal Israel on YouTube, and Free Curtis. You can check out too, and we'll be back in a few minutes and shoot you back that information so you can check out more later on. Take it away, Joe. And we are back. You're listening to the Mind Cemetery on UPRNTalkRadio.com. You can find us on Facebook, Mind Cemetery, on Twitter, at Mind Cemetery. I tweeted out a few things there talking about Cal Israel that's on tonight, because I have to distinguish between the two Cals. Maybe I'll just say Korf and Israel to keep it simpler in the future. I don't know. It's a learning process, I guess. Life is, and I'm just rolling through it on this ball like you. every Monday, at least, 9 to 11 Eastern on UPRNTalkRadio.com. Cal Israel is with us talking about Cal Korf and his various shenanigans. And I was saying on the Twitter machine, as I like to call it, that you have a great voice for radio, and you're high energy, and you come loaded with facts. I was like, you're a great interview, flat out, first of all. And, you know, being of the same vein of, you know, laughing at bozos and talking about them, hey, you know, it, right in the wheelhouse for me as well. So it's always a good time. But
am I still on? Because it's a new thing I got here, so I just want to make sure.
Yes, okay. You are still on. The new thing works like the old thing.
Excellent. So there's one thing I needed to get out of the way. You know, I'm not a manufacturer of drama. I'm not a hater. I'm none of that kind of stuff. I could certainly respond to Korf in a lot different way than I choose to. It's more of a it's more of a mature way. But when I heard you were going to have him on, I said, wow, okay, I'm blown away that he would even do this, him knowing that we're out there waiting for him to do something. And while I understand the interest there, et cetera, et cetera, I was wondering, you said something that interested me from a behavior standpoint, and that was, everybody knows that he's a lunatic and he's off his rocker and stuff. I don't need to tell my audience that. Okay, that's your choice because it's your show. But the distinction that I draw is if you are new to the subject and you don't know him, you don't know him. If you're not new to the subject and then you put him on, And you don't hold his feet to the fire somewhat, that's right. My issue with having a guy like that on and just letting him spout. I mean, man, it was a tough sit for me because it was carbon copied of what he used to do on the Rob McConnell show up in Canada. So I was just wondering, I kind of understand why you did it, but you have people that rely on you for information. You have fans.
But it seems fans
are boring. I'm sorry. Fans are lazy. They want you to do the work.
Right. Great points on every point that you had on that, because you are right, because it chimes right back into that, you know, thing with Peter and Art, where there were people that didn't know the 101 level, base of it. Like you were saying, there's people that rely on me to provide, you know, decent information to them instead of, you know, drivel. And, I didn't make it clear enough that I wasn't really buying into everything he had to say, but I'm willing to listen to it for giggles to see if he even, you know, does the same things, because, you know, the behavior that he showed on that, on the show with me was overly nice, you know, very, you know, grateful for everything, you know, just seemed like he went out of his way to be nice. And I've heard the, you know, the bullying stories and the threats of lawsuits and all that stuff in the background. And I thought, all right, is this him going back to his roots of playing the game of trying to influence people and, you know, gain friends again to get back into everything, 'cause he decided to do the interview, you know, like we both were surprised he did, or has this behavior been seen before, where he plays calm, cool, and collective, like he's, you know, he came off to me as trying to play like he's, you know, throwing away an old corf, you know, kind of like he's changed his ways, kind of thing. Like he wanted to come off like that, I think, and me not holding his feet to the fire. You're right. It exposed him to my audience, who, you know, I like to think, as much as I like to think, I know it's not true. Like you said, the audience is lazy for the most part. And sometimes I've been, you know, hard on the audience that listens. You know, sometimes I've said, you know, what do you listen to this for? I'm an idiot. You know, you're wasting your time. And, you know, the self-deprecating, you know, humor type stuff. But yeah, there had to have been someone that heard him for the first time or heard me for the first time. And I'm a fan of sports, and I remember, you know, players talking like, you know, I have to do my best every show because there's someone out there seeing me for the first time. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of mentality. And I completely said, you know what? I think I did a good job of weeding out idiots in my listener base, and I don't need to do all that kind of stuff. And I turned it into a, you know, a complete, you know, mockumentary that sometimes people that lazy people aren't going to get. Sure. You know, people that hadn't heard my show before it or after it, or even two or three before or months before. And also, you know, My style's completely changed, you know, in the 5 years of doing this whole gag, because I put out garbage shows at the beginning of the whole, you know, you decide. I had that, you know, the North American Billy Meyer story guy, you know, you have that bozo on. I didn't do, who didn't I do that almost everybody? Stan Freeman. Like, I don't have any interest in interviewing that guy. I have complete and utter disdain for Richard Dolan, so I'm never getting him on here, and he's never going to talk to me anyway. You know, there's a mutual, you know, don't give a damn. But yeah, there's been a progress from then to now. You know, I had a co-host I was rolling with at the time then, and now I'd really gone towards, like, my last big thing was the Cinco de Mayo fiesta that they had, the Roswell slide thing. You know, mm-hmm, that was my big thing for a couple months there and afterwards, and just utterly astonished at how, you know, that, you know, people like Dolan and Tom Carey and Schmidt and Dew and all these guys and Masson and everybody can put on this stupid charade over a picture of a mummy, you know, and can walk away and throw their hands up and say, oh, well, you know, I was misled by the data and, you know, the jury's still out and we don't know for sure, you know, and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, it was amazing to me to watch these guys throw their hands up and act like they had no responsibility or they didn't endorse anything because, you know, what pissed me off with Dolan, I guess he didn't understand that when you, you know, jump on stage and talk about and do a presentation during something like that, you're actually endorsing it. But someone should have reminded him of that. Kind of goes along with the territory, but
well, that's, you know, true. But in a way, you, in a way, I understand the mockumentary thing that you were going after. But you endorse Korf as well,
right? Right, and I fell right into that trap as well.
Right, right.
And
well, hey, let's move on to real information. So, with Don Ecker, okay, I know Don,
yes.
And there's other people who I've helped research for books and things, and he was one of them. With Don, I need to back up. The reason Korf acted that way with you is he's a coward.
Yeah.
Korf
yeah.
will not go. He says he'll debate anybody anytime, and I guess
right.
you asked him if he would come on with me.
Right. Yeah, and it's no.
Yeah, right, chance. Right, because he will not debate because he knows at this point we've done our homework and we have
right.
and we have him by the balls, so he can't do it. But he's always been that way since after the 90s, and he's a coward, so he's always honored and humbled to be involved or to, you know, the people I write
right.
for are going to put my article in. I'm honored and humbled. Okay, that's
right.
the type of guy he is because he knows his
okay.
past is going to follow him and his family for the rest of his life. So with Don Ecker, what got to him was Korf called Kevin Randall a coward. Okay, now
right.
Pete, now folks can read about this. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but Don being ex-military, Randall being ex-military, Korf being fake military, that's
yep.
where that whole thing started. So when those two went at it, and Don said, I will have you on my show, and then Korf recently said, I contacted him, and I told him that I needed show guidelines to be on the show, blah, blah, blah. We talked about that. No show guidelines
yeah.
were ever given out. Nobody ever gives those out, especially for free-form,
right.
organic conversations like this. It was another excuse, and he said, Don Ecker's lying because I sent him a personal email. I'm here to tell you. He never did. What happened was there was lawyers involved, okay? One lawyer or firm is from India. They sent an email to Don Ecker saying, if you sign a contract, he'll be on your show, blah, blah, blah. We sent
right.
we sent emails to those email addresses. Nothing happened, okay?
Get it, yeah.
Then later on, Korf steals the identity of a LA-based, a Los Angeles-based lawyer, a real lawyer. He steals
oh,
his identity, and he writes a letter to Don Ecker, and he says, I represent Colonel Cal K. Korf, blah, 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 and you and Cyberstations are responsible for Don's behavior. You have to remove Don Ecker and his show. We called this lawyer. I mean, that's how lunatic this guy is. We call
yeah.
him and says, what the hell are you talking about? But there's
right.
nothing, there's nothing he can do because the guy's
right.
in India, right? So mm-hmm. that's
wow.
that's why Korf is going to act that way, because if you were to ask him that, what
right.
can he say? He's lying. He's lying. He's lying. That
right.
That, you know,
right.
they're haters. They're haters.
Yep.
But what about all those people who sent me death threats? Yeah. Okay. Well, the Black okay. Lives Matter. Some of those people chant, "Let's wrap up the police and toast them." But not all of them do. So not all Korfers are going to send you stuff like that. That's not the point. The point is
right.
is...
he makes it sound like you had these people, you know, you sicked these people on me and threatened my life and all this garbage. So you're responsible for that.
Right. So,
like, they have the ability to control themselves.
Exactly. Right. So the latest claim by Korf, and you can go find a Facebook page for this, you can find a website for this, is that he started a school in India and he nominated himself the headmaster, like principal of the school. And you can go find the website up on our site. Some people were questioning him on Facebook. Finally, you know, people are lazy. So they say, well, you're lying about Korf. Well, type in Cal Korf into Google, check it yourself. So,
right.
We uncovered some photos of a building with a little poster that said Cal Korf. It showed him. I mean, it something went down with some kind of a school. However, when you have a website, a Twitter account, and a Facebook page that have been dead for 18 months with one tweet. We all know that schools are social. The teachers, the parents, the kids, everything's social. And when you only have one person listed as a member of the school, which is Cal Korf, you know that what he did was he suckered these people into starting some kind of a all-teacher-kids English language, and it fell apart. But he's not man enough to say that. He's a coward. So if you were to ask him, he would say, you don't know what you're talking about. It's still up and running. We've got 300 kids. So it's this pathological need to be more than he is. And I heard him on your show, man. You had a front row seat to this crap.
Right. A full on, you know, got it out of him too, is that he did not ever even come close to touching anything that had to do with Don or Kevin or anybody. He didn't come close to explaining why he's not in the U.S. He didn't come close to explaining why he moved from Europe. He didn't explain any of that garbage. Like, it was like that. None of that existed. So to hear, you know, that tactic that he used, you know, the whole, you know, honored and all that to be here on your show is right up the alley of what to expect from him. Then it's just another con job by Cal Korf.
And it's sad.
Which makes it even more incredible that he even came out of the woodwork to do that. Like, I figured, like I said, well, maybe this is just him trying to turn the page. Well, no, you know, if this has happened before, then this is just him doing his thing again, coming out of hiding every once in a while for that attention, you know, that you were talking about.
Right.
Because it's been too long, you know.
Right. He needs to feed the ego. That's why he posts stuff like my book or series of books on terrorism will come out. And up on the Cal is an idiot.blogspot.com, we've got a clock up there. We're almost to a year of the last time that he said this. Now, granted, that's fun and that's humorous, but we do this because it's not just Cal. It's Facebook, the narcissism, it's the internet, it's the Kardashians, it's all this stuff that's been getting in the way of life. And he's a small part, granted, he's a small part of it. But hopefully people will be able to see this information and recognize, wow. You ought to be careful when you start making these grandiose claims like I was a protege of Bill Casey, and then I contact the author of Ghost Wars, the secret history of the CIA, Afghanistan, and Bin Laden, and I talked to the guy, and he goes, Cal Korf who? And it's like, well, and that's what his problem is now. He was on your show because he's got a super ego, and we all do, granted. And that's why he makes all of these grandiose claims, because he needs to fill it. You need to feed the beast for your show. If you don't, people forget. The people on YouTube who want to make something out of himself, they got to feed the beast or they are forgotten. So how Korf does it is he no longer has a website. He has Facebook with a, and he hides and shuts it all down so he can feed that beast and humbly brag on a regular basis so he can get this back, because he really, really needs that. And it's, well, I would consider it a sickness, some kind of a mental illness.
By far. Yeah, because if you can go, you know, that many years and go right back into the mindset, it's like flipping a switch, you know.
Right, right.
Multiple personality, maybe. I mean, there's, it's just weird. You
yeah,
know, it's
yeah.
just weird how it could, you know, carry on so many different, like, different fantasy adventures, you know, and part and parcel them out. Because like you said, he did some debunking with Billy Meyer, which, you know, is shooting fish in a barrel, in my opinion. So, you know, yay for you. And then, you know, you move on to some Roswell shenanigans, and that was, what, to probably get in on the attention of Roswell, let's face it.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
A lot of people like to attach themselves to that name.
Yeah.
And then it just went out of control after that, because that was the whole TV time for him with CNN, and just out of his mind from there on after, because everything got to him, and he was at the pinnacle, or as high as it gets, in my opinion, back then, and thought and panicked, and what do I got to do to maintain it? And he went crazy train.
Yeah, see,
to maintain.
I give him credit. Okay, I bought the Billy Meyer book, right? And and I said, wow. I mean, you've got to hand it to the guy. He went there. He had his feet on the ground. Okay, I may not be on board with everything he did or how he did it, but who's going to be? But at least he went there. He did the research.
Right.
He tried to get some information. He tried to position this thing as the biggest hoax in the world, et cetera, et cetera. I give him props for that. It's just, isn't it interesting, especially nowadays? That's why I'm so fascinated with it now, with the Kardashians and all of this reality TV and the stuff on YouTube, and it just goes on and on. It's fascinating when you take somebody who had their time in the sun was mostly when he was in high school, and then when the internet hit, he said, wow, here's another chance. And he could have done it correctly. He could have done it right, but because of his behavior and his overactive imagination and ego, he went down the wrong way. But wouldn't it have been a different life for him if he just would have kept going after it in a similar way, an even-handed, as he would say, critical thinking way? But
right.
He couldn't. He couldn't do that. I find it a worthy project, if for no other reason, to scare off and inform other people who may be like-minded.
Exactly. You know, and to compare and contrast him against, you know, Billy Meyer and Stephen Greer and Dave Wilcox and all these just weirdos out here, the Bashar guy who tries to channel people. I don't understand how those people are able to keep it together, you know, better than him. You know, that's what blows my mind. It's like, how did these wackos survive this long and not be in the same breath with Cal at this point? See, I would love to see those folks put on that same level, you know, of just complete trash can, you know, fun time nonsense over here.
Yeah.
When you want to hear some gibberish, there it is. You can go to that hole. But I just don't think he really had, and the difference between him and those people is the ability to rebrand himself and the ability to communicate well. And that's what he's the most piss poor communicator in the world.
Right.
You know, and that's evident in his attempts to impersonate an attorney, for God's sakes.
Right.
You know, he it's like you said, it was his cowardice that leads to all his you know, impersonations and all his schemes and scams is essentially it. Is like he can't handle confrontations. You know, it's like he's not even, you know, developed as a human being.
Well, no, he stopped developing in high school. This yep. happens a lot. When you study behavior, you'll find, and you, I don't know how old you are, but I'm in my 50s. So, okay. when you go to high school reunions, there's a clear distinction. You have a very small percentage of these guys who had a personality that worked in high school. They got laid. Yeah. They were funny. whatever worked for them, and they stuck with it. Instead of reading the room and reading the environment and saying, you know what, I'm an asshole. I got to change this up. I can be funny, but there's yeah. certain things here that don't work in an adult world. The problem is with somebody like Korf and any child actor, except maybe Opie Taylor, they get stuck there and it works. So it's like, well, what's your problem? This worked for me. Yeah, but you were 12. You're freaking 50 now.
And right.
He wasn't able. Nobody loved him enough to tell him or whatever. But the difference with him and Greer and those guys is that they're not driven by their emotions. So when you have huge emotional outbursts and the need to be somebody, I mean, if Greer was more emotional. Right. You would have it if right. Hoagland was those guys are pretty measured. Boy. Right. They're fairly consistent in their behavior. But you've seen the lunatic videos of Korf. I mean, those other guys would never do something like that. Never.
Nailed it. You nailed the difference in them. And that's exactly right, is that they are emotionally more advanced than Cal. That's why they don't get down in the mud and the blood and get stupid and make stupid videos to defend themselves every 5 minutes, because that's exactly what someone with the high school mentality would do, because they feel they have to defend themselves all the time.
Absolutely.
And justify all their actions.
Absolutely. You know? And never take responsibility. Never. Never, never,
right.
never.
Right.
And that's why when we ask him, you know, to debate and things, and I should say, you know, I've gone by aliases, and here's why, okay?
Right.
The reason I go by aliases is I'm a professional guy. I got a life, right? I got stuff that I care about in my life. When people like Royce Myers III, who ran the UFO Watchdog site, and David Bietney and these guys, when they kind of went after him, Korf made it a point to call their place of work and place and things like that. So if you're willing to take it that far, then you have to sit back and go, well, gee, how far do I want to go with this thing and not have my place of business called or my wife or something from this lunatic? And he's done that. A woman was trying to work something out with him, right? And she's got a 16-year-old daughter. It started to go south because of his lies. He was bullying and berating the 16-year-old girl, so that you're dealing with a 12-year-old or a high schooler.
Right.
And that's the way that he's going to respond, totally emotionally, completely based on knee-jerk reaction emotions. So some folks would say, well, you're a pussy because you won't use your name and yada, yada, yada. Well, there is a balance here. I don't want to manufacture drama for myself. I want to make an example out of him. I cop to that. I like the entertainment. I love the research, because I do that to help guys research for books. There's a lot of this that I enjoy, but I refuse to put myself open to him pulling internet shenanigans with my personal life. I'm just not going to do it. Now, Don Eckers put himself out there, and he tried. He made motions like, oh, we're suing him, and somebody's going to show up at his house in 20 minutes and blah, blah, blah. Don just says, F you little punk. Bring it on. Well, that's Don. That's Don.
Yeah.
I mean, Don's a no bullshit guy. That's not me. So right. I would rather take it the way I did. And when you bring up Greer and those guys, the same thing could be done to those guys. But you may have a general idea, but there are thousands of hours in the videos and the websites and the blog that we've done. thousands of hours because it's a hobby. If you want to do it to Greer and those guys, you can do it. You just can't be stupid, say stuff that's not true, and you've got to feed the beast. Feed the beast. Feed the beast. It's constant. At least a couple times a month, you have to put out either funny or factual information.
That's the dead on information right there.
Yeah,
Great
because
advice.
Reed, Jonathan Reed, that case is horseshit.
Oh,
that
boy.
Case is horseshit. But if you go onto YouTube, I mean, my God, and Musan and all these people, you will never win that, right? So all you can do if you want to is put out some kind of media on a consistent basis and not fight the haters and just keep going and not worry about it because you're sure you're right. Not too many people are going to do that. I mean, life's short.
That is true. That is true. You kind of described the way I was going for a while on a lot of stuff. Cause I've Corf is your big dig. You know, did a lot of digging into Dolan and his personal life and everything like that. And where he is now and professionally and where he was and how, you know, just the entire history of things like that. So that's kind of my pet project I'd be working on. And you're right that, the grind, the monthly, content, push something out, talking about it. And I was me and a couple other guys. We were all banging it, that Roswell slide research group, banging the drum hard for a while. And I was like, this is pretty good. And they tried so hard not to pay attention, but I could tell in my opinion, like you said, that method, the grind it out method, that got a response. You know, it eventually got through and started, putting a hole in the wall.
Royce Myers III did that. Now, I don't know Royce, but when I would read his stuff, the issue that I had with it was a little immature, the way he would write and stuff. But the information, I started looking into it, and I said, wow, there's some quality information here. And I sent him an email, and I said, dude, you should back off on the language and the immature kind of presentation you're doing here, because it's just opening yourself up to people saying, well, this can't be true because you're acting like a little kid. And he understood it, but it was, hey, we all have our own way to do it. But he did it for like 10 years, and you've been on the other side of this. He just finally had to throw his hands up and go, look, I got either sick family or my job or whatever's going on, and I just got to throw my hands up in there and go, look, I did my time in the sun. But again, if you're emotional and you can't pull back from it and maybe post your YouTubes with no comments available or just don't bother, you have to have that division. You have to. Or it sounds to me like you got into it a little bit too much and it just takes over your life, and now you're you're an emotional manufacturer, and it's like, oh, God, God.
Yeah, it's pretty much what it turned into. And I was like, it doesn't have to be like that. There's a time and a place that I do enjoy chaos factor. My buddy Jeff Pritchett is one of the best of that. Me and another guy, we Shepherd. We like to kid around, and we have nicknamed him Ragnarok. So when he goes ballistic on people, he goes complete Chernobyl, right? And it'll be this giant, post, and it'll end it with "suck a puss toot out my fart box," and then people, it's so funny and it's so hilarious, and I've never heard it be used at all, but you might as well just light someone on fire after dropping that on them, because I've sat back and watched like all these people from MUFON that are full of crap and all these other people he wants to target or comment on just fall for it every time, and talk about, what a terrible human being is and all this stuff. And I tell people every week, for like 5 years, forever long I've known him, and everybody likes to call him a liar and stuff. But I'm like, man, this guy's on point when he goes off, and he caps it with a cherry to get your attention, and it never fails. And me and, we sit back and watch, and it's funny stuff. Yeah, see the actions.
We started a little bit of that. You know, we've been doing the Corphine thing for, I don't know, maybe 10 years now. But we were doing a little bit of that. I think a British guy who expat to the CZ started that blog. And then he kind of let it go. So we contacted him and said, Guy, we don't want this thing to die. So could you give us access to this so we can keep it going? And we cleaned it up from a little bit of what he was doing, because I'm sure you will admit, and you know that one of the reasons, I don't know much about Dolan. I know he wrote a couple of books that are well liked by a lot of the group out there. Well,
right.
One reason he's well liked is he doesn't come off like a freaking lunatic, like a dean or some. So look what they're doing to that poor alien. I mean, he doesn't do that stuff. So. So he comes off more learned. He comes off like he's been to school. He comes off like he's read a few books, and he comes off generally kind of balanced. I did see him once give a talk on exopolitics, and I wanted to wring his neck. But generally, he does come off like that. Where Hoagland was an interesting thing that possibly Corf could have went that way to some extent, where he presents himself. He's got a good look. He's a little long winded, but he can speak okay. And like Sean David Morton, he kind of brings you into the material and things. But the ego gets involved. Like Musson and Sean David and Hoagland and everybody else and Linda Moulton Howe, all of those people. I've got the information. I got to release it now. I got to release it now because I've got it now. I've got it now. It doesn't matter if it's real or not. So if Musson gets a video of a wobbly UFO in Mexico as it goes behind a building, he releases it and then goes and looks for people who say they saw it. That's a perfect example, right? I got to release it now. I got to release it now. Instead of saying, well, gee, maybe you calm yourself down here, do the research ahead of time and find out it's a piece of crap and it never happened. Oh, no, I got to pay the bills. I got to pay. I need hits. I need friends. I need all that.
Yes. And you nailed it on his bag, you know, and his bag is to look very learned. You know, he's the exact opposite of what he was when he started. Like, you know, when he started, he was clean cut, you know, dark hair, and now he's got the sagely long pepper hair and the beard, and I do yoga now, and I talk in very low tones, and you know, I make you feel good, you know, like it's a warm fireplace we're sitting next to, and you know, and then it's gibberish about exopolitics, you know. And that was my thing with the whole Cinco de Mayo. You know, here's an otherwise, or you know, what we were led to believe was, you know, an otherwise intelligent human being trying to tell us this is not a mummy we're looking at, you know, and then deny it, and then the bold-faced lie about it and say, I never said that. The video's there.
and much like Corf, that doesn't discount those two books that he wrote. It might be three now. That doesn't discount that work, and it doesn't discount the Meyer book that Corf wrote. Again, it's a long life. It's a long life that we're in here. All right. So if I was a dickhead in high school and I repaired that, made some calls, did whatever I needed to do, like, you know, Mel Gibson said he did, okay, then I'm moving on. But if you're unwilling to do that, then people start to even look at the book and say, well, should I look at this book in a different light? And that's not fair to the book either, because now it's based on his behavior. It's not based on the facts in the book.
Exactly. And you're right about that. There's no taking away the books if the books were good or anything like that. There was a this is about Dolan again, I'm sorry. There was a review done on that book that basically talked about dead end citations in the damn thing and how his citation would be to cite another book that, you know, wasn't a book or something. Books, you know, that was like a paper. He was like citing his own paper or something like that. Right. And, So that came out, and of course, you know, that really didn't get too much gravity because his response was, you know, like you said, very measured, very learned, very calm, very non-emotional, you know, very, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot, and I've put a lot of consideration into this response, and I need to make sure I sound intelligent. So, you know, people love it, you know, the lazy listener love it. And it drives me insane that people fall for that all the time.
Yeah, because you know, let's
pure Pied Piper action, and that's exactly what Korf was. And I'm wondering, does he have a fan base himself? Have you run into like fans of Cal Korf in your? Okay.
When we monitor him, his Facebook page gets limited responses. Some people, a guy named Andre, who we've been in contact with. In fact, the I think it's this last thread or the one before that was based on his information. They've been questioning him, and in fact a high school friend of his, he went to high school with him for 2 years in Fremont, and he started to question him about the school and this and that. So that's kind of started, and for the tens of tens who check his page out, they would just come back and say, well, you don't have any proof of any of this and blah, 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 blah. Let's be honest about this subject, okay? And it could be truthers or whatever. Is there information there that's worthy? Absolutely. There's information there that's worthy. But how is that information in total presented? Entertainment, first and foremost.
Right.
Entertainment. It's always entertainment. So
yeah.
If you look at it like that, you do your work on maybe on Sechin, let's say, and you know, some people have done some deep work on him and said, you know what, a lot of what he says doesn't pan out. Well, you can go to the top of the mountain and scream that, or you can just put that out on the web, pay the money to keep it going, and hope for the best, because most of your viewers are not, even today, most of your viewers are not going to type in Cal Korf and go look. Because who cares about him, right? Well, I would tell them that don't care about Cal Korf. Care about your kid, care about your neighbor, care about humanity in general, that we've gone around the corner with the selfie stick and all of this crap that's affecting us now, where the standard, as Korf would say, the evidentiary standard of yours is uneven. Well, the standard of being a mature adult and either staying out of the way of proper society or helping, it's leaving us, man. It's leaving.
You're right about that because, you know, if there's one thing that I've taken from this, you know, Fear the Walking Dead series, the prequel kind of thing they got rolling.
Yeah, I've taped both those, but I haven't watched them yet.
Second episode's much better than the first.
Okay, so, okay, know. All right.
What I've enjoyed so far, at least in the second one when it really picked up, is actually seeing, you know, how difficult it is to deal with a fresh zombie. Mm. It's like a, you know, full-grown person. You know, they're still just as strong. Heads aren't so soft. So, like, the zombies we're seeing now, you know, Rick and all them deal with, man, those are a cakewalk compared to, like, the first days. When
I see your point, because in the original show, we're 5 years in, so they're rotting. In the new show, they're fresh and strong.
Right.
They're okay.
They're like a rock, and, like, now they're just like melons, you know? So, yeah, they're badass and tough to take down, they weren't even talking about that kind of stuff, you know, and that's what they were pointing out in the show. Well, look what, being ignorant to this kind of thing, look what, you know, putting your head in the sand about these, you know, about, you know, certain things going on in the world, and look how fast, you know, fear, and I think, you know, that's why they call it Fear of the Walking Dead, the fear that took over on people to be complacent to let these things happen, you know, and it's, you know, to let things get out of control. Like, they sat and watched a zombie eat a neighbor, like, in their house, like, in the second episode. And I'm like, you need to, you know, do something here.
Well,
you know,
So it's like the girl who gets raped, the girl who gets raped on the beach with 12,000 college kids. They don't help her. They video it with their smartphone.
Right. Yes. It's just that complete cultural change that I was like, I can see how something like this could take off and get out of control quick because of stupidity. Because there were even when there were, and I'll put this, you know, you in this category, there were cleanup crews there in the beginning. Mm-hmm. They had people in full on hazmat suits containing the, you know, the dead body, cleaning it up, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, that's kind of like, you know, what you are with Korf is everywhere he goes, containing the mess,
making sure
no one else gets poisoned.
Right. It's thank God it's taken on some more of a behavioral slant in a general way. At first, it was this guy's just a little shit. But it's still that to some extent, because nobody likes a bully and nobody likes a braggart and nobody likes the humble bragger and all that. So always want to take those guys down. But it has turned in, at least for me, I can't speak for the rest of the guys, but it's turned into more of an example of guys, you know, iPhones, iPads, I this, I that. Everything's I, me, me, mine is the beat, as the Beatles said. So are we just going to kick back and let the government do what the government does while we drink another beer and take another Vicodin? Or are we going to get involved at the very least? In the 60s, there was involvement. If you liked it or not, there was involvement. There's none of that now. There's just, you know, I've got my agenda, F you.
Right. And hopefully his agenda isn't to, you know, rebuild his following or anything like that, because you guys did a great job of exterminating it.
Right,
you know?
He can't. And at the very least, if anybody out there has a wild hair about Greer or whatever, you can do something about it, but I wouldn't take the immature route. I'd treat it like, you know, a proper hobby, a part-time job or whatever, if it really matters to you to make a difference, and call somebody out like Greer, who on ABC TV in the 90s is vectoring in UFOs, and he looks up at the vista and says, "There's a good one," and it's kids in the Jeep drinking beer. I mean, for Christ's sakes, come on. Somebody needs to post all this in one place and not call the guy an, you know, maybe misguided, but not an idiot or a jerk, but just get it out there so at least the ignorant can't plead ignorance.
Right. You know, and I feel bad for the people that fall for him in particular in his UFO fantasy camps and his, you know, upgrades for special meetings with me alone and all that. Yeah, just, man, a $20,000 to $50,000 operation a month. And then he tells you about his great crusade. He's on to free energy, and I quit being a doctor for this. Well, and now I know why. You know, it's a great income.
And you're your own boss, and you get to go to nice warm places, and you get to meet interesting people for fun and profit, if you get my drift, wink, wink,
yes.
Nudge. I mean,
yes.
Yeah, and the ego.
I like to call it the fur trade. and it's very alive on the tours. You know?
So I don't know if it would ever fall apart for him. He seems to be a bright guy. He seems to keep fairly even keeled about the whole thing. Sometimes he gets a little bit into, you know, when I think there was some issue with him where he was going in on to federal land and charging people. I know. So he kind of learned his lesson there. So he's tiptoed into some areas, but he didn't do a Sean David Morton, right? He didn't do a Korf.
One of my buddies has actually taken pictures of the UFO fantasy camps that he's held on private property after he got kicked off the government land. He managed to get a nice vantage point and get pictures of them sitting in the woods and in the field and looking up and all that good stuff. So, yeah, he said it was a lie. And he's gotten pictures of Greer's house. There's no solar panel on the house. There's no nothing. It's not a farm.
Now, in your view, is there anything wrong with doing that with Greer? I mean, it costs money, granted. But, I mean, if you got the money to spend. But is there anything really wrong with that I mean, it's probably less harmful than Scientology or something.
Yeah, yeah, and I bet you, moreover than anything, he considers it a consultation business.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
I bet he considers himself like a personal consult and, you know, like a life coach. I bet if it fell back onto some sort of lawsuit like that, I bet he'd do that route. But he has a lot of non-disclosure forms he makes you sign at the UFO camp, which is ironic because he's like a disclosure guy.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, how fitting.
Yeah, I've been into it a long time, too, you know, since the 80s, I guess. And I came away... I'm not a believer and I'm not a disbeliever. I just find that when you look into the majority of this, it falls into two camps for me. It's inexplicable or it's horseshit. One or the other.
I was meaning to ask you, you know, where you fell on everything and maybe what case you thought was as good as it gets, you know.
I like cases like this. You on Discovery or something, I don't have cable, but on Discovery or something, they had a great show on a sighting in Illinois, and a bunch of cops saw it, and it went through like,
right.
I mean, now that, my friend, is research. Right there. Mm-hmm. They talked to people. They made drawings. They got lasers out. And they didn't make any claim about anything. They just looked into the facts. And something like that, and maybe the O'Hare case.
Right.
I like that stuff because there's no agenda going into it. And there wasn't any, well, it must be this. It must be that. We know what we're looking for, so let's find it like a Musan or somebody would do. So offhand, right. The Illinois case for me was just fascinating, especially for TV. I can point to no better TV investigative show than that than I've ever seen.
There you go. And that was the one where the UFO hit the car and left trace evidence and all that, like dents on the car, right?
I'm not sure if
it
did that, but in this case it
like
went...
bent the antenna and all this.
In this case, it was from about 10 years ago, and it flew over a number of towns.
Right.
And a number
okay.
of police called it in, and they called it in from town to town to town to town.
Yep.
And
like Southwest Illinois. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was blown out that TV would actually treat it respectfully, unlike UFO hunters or some horseshit like that. I mean, that kind of stuff just drove me crazy. I mean, Burns and that book he wrote with Corso. I can't tell you what Corso had. I can't tell you. But, I mean... Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
I've given up on Mr. Burns there a long time ago around that UFO Hunter show there.
Oh,
well, we're up at the end here, man. Go ahead and let everybody know where they can find the information online about Cal Korf that you have collected.
Yeah, sure. The one that's updated a lot and it's most fun, and all the links are there. In fact, is calisanidiot.blogspot.com. I didn't name it. Okay, some other guy did years ago. Calisanidiot.blogspot.com. You can also go to YouTube, and you can basically type in KIAIblogspot.com or blogspot. But again. I implore you, just go to Google and type in Cal Korf images, Cal Korf humanitarian, Cal Korf crazy. Just start typing in words after Cal Korf and especially hit the image button. And realize that because of his lunatic behavior and his cruel behavior, this will follow him now. And if he ever has children and he's got a family – this will follow them until the Terminator and Skynet takes down the internet. And that's what it ended up being. And I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want this.
No, and believe it or not, the internet is in ink, so it is going to be there. So even Granddaddy Korf is going to be seeing this stuff on there.
Exactly,
and his grandkids.
Exactly.
So.
And again, it's personal responsibility, choices we make.
That's an awesome way to end it. Cal Israel, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Glad you came on. And like I said, you have a great voice and you're high energy and you got a lot of information about Cal Korf. And I just felt it only fair to give you your own show too, man.
Well, thanks, man. And I know a lot about other stuff, so if you have a round table, I'm ready.
Hot diggity dog damn. Let's do that. And thank you, everybody, for listening tonight on the Mind Cemetery, UPRNTalkRadio.com. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter at Mind Cemetery. Taliban Joe, take us away.
Keep calm and keep corfing.
Yes, that's awesome.